It was my reflections that I had been unduly complacent about the matter that, you know, over the few years following, you know, maybe take stock. I did take the hazard of things getting out of control quite seriously. I also thought that there was a lot of game playing going on, but they were playing with fire. I knew that we had to engage in measures to lower those risks, to temper it. I didn't think the numbers of weapons, per se, were the most critical concern, because they were set just on the overkill. If we've got 100 times more weapons that would kill us all anyhow, what difference does it make that level? And I thought rather of trying to get institutional frameworks that would lessen the likelihood that any of them would ever be used. And here I was a little bit at odds with the other arms controllers, because that to me meant, let's slow down the rate of technological innovation. Let's go in for test bans as one means of controlling that. And then maybe that'll give us enough time to work out what we're going to do. If the technology is changing every 5 years, and that's what was happening, it just takes the ground from under your feet as you try to work out new agreements. So a little bit quizzical about numerical arms control. Not that I wouldn't have liked to have it happen, but everything was going into that. And I felt it might even have the paradoxical consequence that if all the hard bargaining was going over how many silos have you got and how many launching platforms have you got, they would be given a value beyond their real value, because they become part of the bargaining chips and so forth. So that was one of the complications. Getting more discourse between the military, techno-military, and political leaders was, seemed to me, very important. What did we really have to argue about? Taking more positive attitudes, trying to find confidence-building ways of reassuring the Russians that we were not going to hurt them, that we containment was necessary, we didn't want them to spread further over Europe. That was kind of the ideology that I was trying to promote there. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a middle ground. I mean, it was not an automatic condemnation of the Defense Department. I was very grateful we had a plausible deterrent. I didn't think enough of the stability of the Russian regime to think that we could safely leave matters only in their hands. I didn't think we could leave matters safely in the hands of our own leaders. So a balance of terror was the best we could do during that interval. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
That does answer my question. That's helpful.
But it had to be modulated by common sense and by some sense of what's going on, and especially trying to guess how could this thing go wrong? How could it end up with catastrophic consequences? So things like being sure that there were protective action links that would control the launch of missiles from forward positions, being sure that there were regimes of crisis stability as against instability. I thought that was the most important intellectual contribution of the Cold Warrior academic complexes, mm-hmm. Working that through in some detail, that would give you the latitude of waiting to see whether something is really coming in on you, never be in a position where you feel use it or lose it. Mm-hmm. And those are grossly destabilizing matters. And well, in 62, I shrugged off the idea that it would ever be brought to the point that anybody could ever dream of launching. I've been disabused of that. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah. You briefly mentioned earlier the student protests against the classified research at mm-hmm. Stanford. So I think on April, the main one at Stanford, I think, was on April 3rd, 1969, but in March 4th, there was another big student, grad student, and faculty strike. Did you participate in any of those?
No, I participated. I spoke at the name of the amphitheater, I think. Picturesque name, but Dick Lyman had asked me to do that, in which I said, don't be taken in by, don't be co-opted by violent radical action.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get you to do things that will get you beaten up, so you'll be forever co-opted.
Mm-hmm.
Use your own heads and get out the vote. If you want to change policy in Washington, your marching in the streets isn't going to do it. Getting the mm-hmm. vote out will.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the position.
Okay. I think somewhere it says later you did some teach-ins against biological weapons.
Yes, that was I didn't think there was that much going on at Stanford that we weren't teaching in against local programs.
Right.
But that's part of a public education issue and trying to put some pressure on Nixon to not use chemical weapons, which I think at some point he might have been tempted to do. I don't think BW utilization was a live matter, but that was always also a contingency.
Okay.
But I was not an activist trying to lead the students on. I was trying to get them, lead them into more responsible roles and using the electoral process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that actually covers, I think, all the prepared areas that I wanted to touch on. Are there any other elements of your kind of public persona that you'd like to address or bring up?
Well, it's inexhaustible.
Well, I'm sure it is.
I mean, it's all out there in the
of course.
In the profile, so I'll just throw that back to you.
Okay, well, I thank you for your time.
Okay.